Thank you all for being here this morning as we highlight our children's ministry here at Stony Creek Church. Very important to us that the kids see what it's like to be in service, because the ultimate goal is to someday be sitting in the chairs that you're all sitting in now as adults, Christ-following adults here in church. Not necessarily Stony Creek, but somewhere. So with that, I would like to introduce our guest speaker, who today is going to talk about the importance of Christian marriage and the foundation that comes from the Bible. Mr. Todd Wilson, I don't want to cut too much time because I know he's got a finite amount of time to be here. But suffice to say, I'm just going to say a couple words about you.
That's okay.
He does have 8 children. They do travel the country in an RV. They homeschool all their kids, correct? Okay. One of his sons is here today in the back in the round room after service. He has stuff there if you'd like to purchase any of his books, which, by the way, the Father Power book that we gave away a couple Father's Days ago, that was his book. With that, other than traveling from Indiana this morning, I don't want to say too much and take up your time, so I'll just leave it at that. Ladies and gentlemen, Todd Wilson.
Thank you, all right. That was awesome. That worship service was like awesome. This little light of mine is way better that way than the way I learned it. But this is new for me. I don't know about you, but I've never done this in a worship service. Ever. That was kind of cool. Well, it's good being here. My name is Todd Wilson, and we do have 8 children, my wife and I. They're not here this weekend. They're enjoying some, hopefully it's kind of sunny outside, at a family lake cottage, so they're enjoying that while I get to do this with my oldest son, Ben. I thought he was in here for a little while. Maybe he ran out. You'll get to meet him back at in that back room. We've got a table filled with some stuff. But we're going to be talking about marriage. And the reason I like talking about this wherever I go, because it's so critical in the scope of what the church does. You know, in fact, I like to think of marriage this way. I like to think of it as a plant. And just a little background on me. Before I did this, we've been doing this for about 10 years. Before this, I was a pastor of a church. Before that, I was a landscape architect, which seems like a natural progression. You know, and as a landscape architect, I loved planting flowers. I still like planting flowers. I like plants. I like all that kind of stuff. And I've always planted flowers the same way you do. You know, you get them in the spring, you get a big flat of flowers, and I would always take, you know, how they're divided up into individual, like, you know, groups of 6, and then I'd stick my thumb in the bottom, grab the plant by the stem, and plop it in the ground. I did that for hundreds of thousands of flowers until I had my landscaping world rocked by Roger Swain of the Victory Garden. I don't know if you've ever seen that. It was on PBS. Roger Swain is like a master gardener. He looks like he eats dirt. I mean, he looks like a gardener. And Roger one day said to me, and everybody else watching television, he said, now here's how you plant flowers, he said. What you do is you stick your thumb in the bottom of the cell, you grab the plant by the leaf, and you drop it in the ground. And when he said that, I thought to myself, you know, you grab it by the leaves, and apparently he could read my thoughts, because he said, now I know some of you are thinking, why would you ever grab it by the leaves? And then he said this, that just blew me away. He said, you know, if you grab it by the stem, and you squeeze it too tight, you run the risk of killing the plant. But if you grab it by the leaf, and you pull off a leaf, the plant still survives. You know, I like to think of that stem as your marriage, you know. And if you were Satan, you probably wouldn't spend your time on ripping off leaves. You know, leaves are all those little things that kind of are distractions out there, but the real core of the family unit of society is the marriage. And I think you've been talking about that kind of a little bit here. There are huge attacks on marriage out there. But you know what? The one I'm most concerned about is the one of my wife and I. You know, because that's where really the rubber meets the road. And that's what's so hard. You know, in fact, I know, especially ladies, you're especially aware of it, more than we husbands are. I know there's not a lady in here who doesn't look around at everybody else and think, oh, their marriage is perfect. You know, you all look at ladies, you do, you look at each other and you think, her husband understands. You know, he listens. He's so attentive to her needs. I bet you he's this great spiritual leader. And you all look at each other thinking that, you know. Husbands, you don't think that at all. In fact, you always say to yourself, I've seen worse, you know. And in fact, you know, just the differences between husbands and wives, you know, Ladies, you know, it's like getting ready for some event, you know, maybe for church, you know, and you spend an hour getting ready for church, and then you look in the mirror, and, you know, after you put on your makeup and your best whatever, your outfit, and you look in there and you think, how could anybody like you? You know, and, you know, you look so ugly or whatever, and guys, you know, you look in that same mirror, 50 pounds overweight in your rattiest underwear, and you go, you still got it, you know? So obviously men are delusional, but you know, you look around and you think everybody else's marriage is easy, when the truth is, you know, sometimes think that yours is the only marriage that stinks. The truth is all our marriages stink. You know, that's just the way it is, you know. It's a real relationship, like we hinted at last time. Virtual relationships are the ones that scare me, but real relationships are hard. Marriage is hard. It just is. I keep talking to people, and you know, once you get to know somebody after a long period of time, then you start to see that it's hard in their life as well. So that should bring you great comfort, because we are all in the same boat together. You know, my fear is that some of us will get tired of the hardness, and we will miss out on the promise that you will reap a reward if you do not grow weary. And so we're going to talk about marriage. In fact, we're going to look in a passage in the Bible. We're going to look in, if I can find it, in Ephesians. No, actually, in 1 Peter chapter 3. 1 Peter chapter 3. And what we're going to do, we're going to read it backwards. We're not going to read the whole passage like backwards, word for word. That'd be a little awkward, and I don't know what it would gain us, but maybe I need exercise, I don't know, but we're going to start in verse 7. Verse 7 of chapter 3 of 1 Peter. And it says this, husbands, in the same way, and that's all we're going to read. In the same way. In the same way means what? What does that mean? I'm asking. That's what this means when I do this with my hand. I'm asking you, what does that mean? Huh? Say that again. To copy. And to copy. I've never heard anybody say that before, but that's right. To copy. What else? That's what copy means, right? Thank you. Do you have a? Did you bring a thesaurus? Is that in? Somebody else said something over here. I thought. Just like, right, it's kind of pointing back in the Bible to pointing back to something that just happened, right? In the same way, you know, in copying or duplicating. So let's look at chapter 3, verse 1, because that's what it's pointing to, all the previous stuff. And then it says, wives, in the same way, which is kind of saying the pointing back again. So it's talking about husbands, it's talking about wives, and it's pointing it all back to previous stuff. So let's start in chapter 2, verse 21. To this you were called, because Christ suffered for you, leaving you an example that you should follow in his steps. He committed no sin, and no deceit was found in his mouth. When they hurled their insults at him, he did not retaliate. When he suffered, he made no threats. Instead, he entrusted himself to him who judges justly. And then it goes on a little bit. And then it says, after talking about Christ and his sufferings, it says, in the same way, wives, in the same way, husbands. And I think that's because the writer of this is pointing back and saying marriage is similar to the sufferings of Christ. Just what I said. It's hard. And so what I thought we would do is we would, for lack of time, we're going to just talk about our roles as husband and wife. Just briefly, you know, because when we get our roles right, when we do this right, everything's good, isn't it? When we don't, everything is not good. And maybe to get us started thinking, I like to think of this. You know, I like to start, again, with the husbands in chapter 3, verse 7. I like to start with the husbands because I like to get the ladies happy before I talk about them. it seems to work. So, you know, and if I'd start this way, you know, I'll just ask the question. What does every woman want in a husband? I'm asking. You know, I mean, hypothetically, so I'll assume whatever you're saying isn't about your husband, okay? What does every woman want in a husband? Faithfulness. Did you say that? Understanding, okay. What else? Consideration. Don't say them too fast, okay? Kind of slow down like you're thinking about it. Love. Security and love. What? To be cherished. No. Yes, we can add that. What else? Gentleness. Protection. Honesty. Understanding. All those things, right? I mean, kind of what... It's the same thing that my daughters want. I have two daughters, Catherine, who's 16, and Maggie Rose, who's 9. It's what they want, even though they've never verbalized it. They just want someone to treat them like a princess. And all you ladies went, all the guys are going, huh? You know, you just want someone to be gentle, to cherish, to hang on your every word, to, you know, to think of the things that you think are important, make them important to him, you know? All those things. We husbands were that way, you know, before you married us, right? I mean, we were gentle, we were kind, we were opening doors. I was patient, you know? I mean, my wife, we would be driving down the road, and I can remember specifically, we were driving away from somewhere, and we had left like 20 minutes from the restaurant we were at. It was while we were before we were married, and she goes, oh, I left my purse back there in the restaurant. And I'm like, that's fine, you know, and we turn around. Now I'm like, well, now we're sitting out in the driveway, you know, and my wife goes, oh, I left my purse inside, and I'm like, you're kidding me, right? Suppose you want me to go get it, you know? Things change, you know? And so what we're going to talk about, husbands right now, you know, what husbands are to be. And really husbands, every woman wants, you know, a leader. Because the truth is, we husbands are the head of our homes, right? We are. That's what the Bible says. We're to be the head of our homes. That means for Corey is the head of his house. So if things aren't going right, you know, in the parenting department, who's responsible? Corey. You know, if his wife, what's your name again? Amanda. It's the same. That is your wife, right?
That is.
She introduced me. Okay. Why aren't you sitting over there, Corey? It's been worth it already. It's been worth it already. That work is done. You know, if Amanda, if she has a child that she bangs head with all day long, who's responsible to make sure that relationship is right? That's your daughter right there, isn't it? They didn't tell me anything. Nothing. You know, if Amanda doesn't feel loved, who's responsible to make sure she does feel loved? Corey. By the way, you can't blame it on Corey this coming week. I don't know, honey, but it's Corey's fault. I don't know, you know? And I don't know about you, Corey, but sometimes that feels like a raw deal. Because I get tired of being the responsible one. I get tired of being the one who's supposed to be the spiritual leader. You know, and in fact, my wife will say, oh, I just feel like our family's carnal. And I'm like, well, can't you do something about it? Why do I have to be the one? But I do, because the Bible says that. You know, in fact, I like to think of it like this. I like to think of it as a dog sled team. And you're up in here in Michigan, so you probably use them every once in a while. But... You know, you have a dog sled, and then you got some dogs out front. And in the very front, you have what the dog is called the lead dog. You know, the lead dog's job is to listen to the master. So when the master gets on the sled, he, you know, cracks the whip, and they take off down the road. And he says, turn right, and the lead dog turns left. You know what the master does? He stops the sled, and he pats the little doggies on the head. And he gets up to that lead dog, and he shakes that lead dog, and he says, I told you to turn right. And he puts it back in its place. Now, I should tell you, all the dogs get the same reward. All they get the same love. They have the same goals. But the lead dog's supposed to, you know, follow the master. And so the master gets back on the sled, and he cracks the whip, and they take off down the road. And now the lead dog, as they're driving, the master says, turn right. And now the lead dog turns left again. But this time, the dog right behind him says, well, you know, the master did say turn right, so I'm going to go right. And they go, whoop, and they come to a stop. Now the master passes the little doggies on the head and he gets up to the lead dog and he says, I told you to turn right. And he puts the dog in its place. And then he gets the dog right behind him and he shakes that dog and he puts it in its place. Now if I were the dog, and I guess in doggies there, you know, the dog would say, you told me to turn right. I just turned right. The master would say, I know I told you to turn right, but your job is to follow the lead dog. You know, in fact, usually, and nobody did it this time, but I've talked to ladies all over the place, huge groups of ladies, and they all, and I ask them the same question, what does every woman want in a man? Inevitably, somebody raises their hand and say, we want a strong Christian leader. I know you ladies want a strong Christian leader because my wife wants a strong Christian leader. You know, every lady wants a strong Christian leader. But you know what? I finally figured out what that means, or what you mean by that, is that you just want someone to lead you where you already want to go. You know what I'm saying? Okay. It's true. It's fun to follow a lead dog when he's going where you want him to go. It's fun to do that and praise him for leading you in the right direction. But it's not so much fun when he's going in a different direction, is it? It's not. But that's what your husband wants. He desires it. He was created to crave that. You know, and in fact, it's not just in the big things. It's sometimes even in the little tiny things. You know, I used to think I was smart before I got married. I mean, I could do like simple things like find a parking space in a parking lot all by myself. You know, but after we got married, are you going to be okay, sir? Might be something you want to talk about afterwards down there, okay? But, you know, but after we got married, I mean, like, I'm with my wife. We're just newly married, and I pull into a parking space in like a big mall, and she goes, why are you parking here? And I'm like, because it's empty? Is this a trick question? And she goes, why do you park closer? And I'm like, sure, fine. She goes, not over here, over there. Oh, yeah, right, okay. And I, you know, I got to the point that I would kind of freeze up when I pull into a parking space. And I'm like, where do you want to park, honey? And she goes, I don't care. And I'm like, that's not true, you know? You know, and it's so small, and we all laugh. But you know what husbands do in their hearts when that's a pattern? We do this. We step out of your life. In fact, I remember telling a group of ladies, I said, hey, tomorrow when you come, I said, tell your husband he did a good job parking the car. You know, don't go overboard and go, wow, honey, this is the best parking space we've ever had. We're not stupid, you know. But the next day, I didn't think anything about it, and this guy came up to me. We were in Worcester, Massachusetts, and the guy must have been from southern Massachusetts because he had a southern accent. And he came up to me, he was wearing a suit, and he wasn't smiling at all. And he came right up to me, and he said, I don't know what you told those women yesterday, but my wife told me I did a good job parking the car. Without a hint of a smile, he leaned into me, and he goes, it'll never last. Now, what was he telling me? What was he telling me? I could never do anything right. You know, sometimes we husbands feel that way, honey. Like talking to my wife. Sometimes we feel that way. We feel like everything we do is wrong, you know, and then you might do it a different way. You know, we take the list to the grocery store and we bring back the wrong things accidentally because the Diet Coke looks just like the cherry Diet Coke. I don't know why I got it. And you proceed to tell us why we were wrong. What we hear is, how could you be so dumb? And so, you know what happens after a while? That lead dog, husbands, and you are to lead. You are to know where you're going. You are to listen to the master. You are to pull. But after a while, we're like little puppies who've stuck their noses out, ladies, and we've been smacked on the nose so often that we don't put our noses out anymore. Because it's just safer. And then one day your heart is breaking and you go, what should we do about this child of ours? You know, what do you think we should do? And he goes, I don't know, honey. Anything you want to do is fine with me. You like that answer? You hate that answer, don't you? Can you understand how you get it? So here's what you need to do. Ladies, you want your husbands to lead? Yes, you do. I'll tell you, you are the key, I believe, to getting your husbands to lead. Because a lot of the husbands in here, we husbands, don't lead. You're the key. Here's what you do. You let your husband lead. That was simple, wasn't it? And when he doesn't, you let him not lead. Does that make sense? Let him not lead. Resist the urge. You know, again, it's in simple things. You know, for example, I believe in my heart that the Bible says that husbands are to change the burned out light bulbs in the house. I can't find it in the scripture, but it's got to be there somewhere. But in my heart, it feels that way. And unfortunately, I'm kind of a slob. So if, like, I have a chandelier that has four light bulbs, I'm the type that, after one burns out. I used to work for a guy, if one burned out, he'd change that thing before it cooled down, you know. But I'm the type who lets them all burn out, and then we just go to a different room, you know. But occasionally, I'll see my wife, she'll be up on a chair changing a light bulb, you know. And I walk in, and I see her, and I feel like she's crossed the line. And I'm like, what are you doing? She goes, oh, I was just changing the light bulb. And I'm like, oh, I was going to get to it. She's like, when were you going to get to it? I don't know, but I was going to get to it fairly soon. And she goes, well, I just knew you were busy, so I just thought I'd take care of it. Inside, you'd think I would be grateful, but you know what I feel instead? Resentment. And I do this. So what are you supposed to do when all the light bulbs are burned out in that chandelier, huh, ladies? Candlelight, that's right. Romantic dinners, you know. Should you say, honey, it'd be really nice if you'd change the light bulbs, you know, because it's so dark in here. You really need to change the light bulbs. He may change the light bulbs, but guess what it'll feel inside? Like you're just nagging him. So what you do is you let him not lead. And then when the house gets so dark, he can't even see anything. He finally goes, honey, where do we keep the light bulbs? You know, and he gets the light bulbs and he changes them and it's boom, it's bright and he can see everything. You know what you say then, ladies? Thank you. What'd you say? Can you stay afterwards, please? You say, thank you, that's all. And I will guarantee he will eat again. You want your husbands to be more involved in disciplining your children? Of course you do. But you know what normally happens? Again, I mentioned this morning. Usually what happens is dads jump in, they get really angry, and they do dumb things, and go away, you know, and I don't care if I ever see you again. And you know what you do, moms? You go, no, 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 daddy didn't mean that. Here, come back here. That was way too harsh, honey. No. That was, you didn't hear everything. No, here, you go watch a video. Here's $10, you know? And you know what your husband thinks in his little head? Fine, then do it yourself. You know? In family devotions, don't raise your hands, but all you ladies want your husbands to lead in family devotions. I know you do because you read books that say godly families have family devotions. Quit reading those books, by the way. You know, but it weighs heavy on us husbands because it's hard. It's hard. Maybe if you weren't raised in that, you don't know how to do it. And so he finally says, okay, and he gathers the family, and he didn't know what to do. So he's like, let's all stand for the Pledge of Allegiance. You know, and then he knows he's supposed to sing something. So it's like, dashing through the snow in a one-horse open sleigh. And then he closes in grace. You know, afterwards, what you're tempted to say, ladies, oh, that wasn't very spiritual, you know. I mean, Elizabeth Elliot, they used to have 2 hours of family devotions every morning, and they would teach great, you know, truths out of the King James Bible and sing great hymns of the faith by memory. You know what your husband will think if you say that? Fine, then I won't do it again. You know what you should say instead? I was moved, honey. No, don't say that. You say, thank you. And he will do it again, I guarantee. So husbands, your job is to lead in this marriage. You know, she wants you to fight for her marriage, to fight to restore love to your marriage. And then ladies, here's what you do. Whenever he involves himself in any of those ways, let him. Just let him. Don't tell him how it was wrong, how it could be better, or why he should do it again. Just let him. I guarantee he will do it again. Hey, guys, your wife needs you to listen to her. She needs you to listen to her, you know? I hope this doesn't come as a shock to you ladies, but some of the things you talk about, we don't care about, you know? We don't, you know? And guys, you're doing a great job listening to me, but sometimes when my wife is talking to me, I'm like looking in her eyes and I can see her mouth move, but I can't hear the words anymore, you know? And she knows it, doesn't she? What does it convey to you ladies when that happens? Bucket loads. Bucket loads, doesn't it? You know, I was on a bus one time, and I was sitting here, and there was a couple here, like, I could almost touch this guy on the shoulder. They were cat a corner. And he had his arms crossed, and his wife was talking, must have been having a baby shower, a wedding shower. And she was going on and on and on about all the food she was going to serve. And she was like, you know, I'm thinking about doing the ham sandwiches on wheat bread, and I'm going to do the turkey sandwiches on rye bread. And she went on and on and on and on and on. And after a while, I got like, I wanted to say, ma'am, he doesn't care, you know? Just serve whatever you want to serve. But you know what he was doing? He was listening. He was listening. Again, you know, when we first married, my wife and I, she steps out of the closet, and she hikes up her pants, and she goes, Todd, which socks do you like better, the ones on the right or the ones on the left? And I go, who cares, honey? Nobody's going to be looking at your socks. What does it matter? I knew that was the wrong answer right away. Because what she heard was not that I didn't care about her socks, but that I didn't care about her, right? And so the next time, you know, she steps out of the closet and she says, Todd, which socks should I wear, the right or the left? And I said, the ones on the right. She goes, you didn't even think about it. And I said, because who cares? Nobody's going to be looking at your socks. What does it matter? Same bad response, you know? Now, you know, I've been taught now, and now she'll come out, which socks do you like better, the ones on the right, the ones on the left? And I go, can you turn around? You know, I think I would wear the ones on the right. Now, only men can answer. Men, which ones does she wear? I think that is so interesting. Can you see, ladies, how when we give our advice, you just do what you want to do? And so we don't give our answers anymore. So, you know, because if I were to say to you, if I had a little magic marker board and I said, on you know, zero being non-important, 10 very important, how important is it how your socks look, ladies? 9. Who said 9? You're wrong. It's not a 9. It doesn't matter, does it? But you need your husband's involvement. You want him to listen to you. So you would be wise to wear the socks he suggests, even if they're the ugly socks. Because those things don't matter. Those are leaves, little tiny leaves. Now, sometimes the leaves are big, you know? Sometimes they're really big. You know, a lady came up to me and she said, that's fine about socks and all that, Todd, and, you know, family devotions. But she said, you know, my husband believes, keyword, believes that it's his job to be in charge of the family finances. And he's terrible at it. She said, in fact, if he goes much longer, we're going to lose our house. We're going to lose everything. She said, I don't know what to do. I said, well, have you talked to your husband? Because, you know, you can ask your husband, say, honey, would it be okay if I did the finances? Because I really like doing it, and you're really busy. You know, and, you know, most, a wise husband would say, sure, go ahead. You know, because it's kind of like leading. You know, she said, yeah, I've done that, but he believes that it's his job. She goes, should I just push him out of the way and take it over so we don't lose everything? And the answer is, no. You may save your house, but your husband will hate you. She goes, then what do I do? I said, well, it sounds really hard and it is kind of scary. Here's what you do. You buckle your seatbelt, you put your arms up in the air and go, ah! Because you're going down. But houses are leaves. Plain and simple. They're big leaves, really, 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 really big leaves. But your marriage is the stem. So guys, your wife wants you to listen to her. Really listen to her. You know, again, you're doing a great job. And my son Abraham, he taught me about listening, you know, when he was just a little tiny kid. And I remember one time my wife was typing away on the computer and I couldn't see her, but I could hear her fingers and she was just... And Abraham came in and said, Mom, Mom, Mom. And she's like, what is it, Abraham? I'm listening. Mom, Mom, Mom. What is it, Abraham? I'm listening. Just tell me what it is. Mom, Mom, Mom. Abraham, just tell me. Mom, Mom. And I'm thinking in the other room, how long is this going to go on, you know? And then I hear this. And that little boy didn't say, Mom, 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 one more time. Why is that? Because she was looking at him. She was looking, because that's what your wife wants you to do, right? She wants you to look her in the eye and communicate. This is getting a little uncomfortable, isn't it? We were bonding there just for a minute there. Communicate soul to soul. That's what she wants. When you're sitting at your computer and go, yeah, honey, I'm just checking the weather. Go ahead. I can hear you. Yeah. You know, or how about this? You're sitting there in front of your television. Yeah, honey, I'll tell you, hold on. I'll mute it. Go ahead and talk. Yeah, I can hear you. Or how about this? You're laying in bed and she's pouring out your heart. What does that convey? And don't say, I'm tired. Don't say that. What does it convey? Bucket loads. You know, and I will have men who say, oh, Todd, that's not fair because when I get in bed, I'm just tired. You know, the Greek word for that is baloney. because you're wide awake when you want to be wide awake there, you know? You need to listen to your wife. And then, ladies, you would be wise to follow that, even if it's not the best or the right. I almost guarantee it won't be. But you will do this in your life if you do. You know, guys, you need to be understanding. That's what it says in 1 Peter chapter 3. Husbands, live with your wives in an understanding way, as with a weaker vessel. You know, the truth is, because the Bible wrote it, ladies, you're weaker vessels. I didn't write it, and it doesn't mean bad. It means fragile, frail, exquisite. You know, we live in a place where they make cut glass. And they make it the old-fashioned way, where they spin this stone wheel, and they take a piece of glass, and they cut these big grooves in it. The most expensive, the most sought-after glass is the one that looks so frail that if you just put a little pressure on it, it would bust into a million pieces. I think that is a picture of our wives, ladies. I think that is a picture of our wives, men. You know? We like fragile and frail. You know, we love exquisite, except when they're being fragile and frail. You know, then we want them to buck up and be more like Tupperware, you know? And I've done that. Oh, man, I have. I remember when we brought Benjamin home from the hospital for the very first time, you know. He was our firstborn son, so we had a plan, you know, and we knew something about parenting, even though we'd never had kids before. And we brought him home, and we decided it was going to be okay if he cried sometimes. You know, if he was well-fed, he was dry, he wasn't strangling himself in the sheets, it was okay. And so one of those first, you know, we've been home less than a week probably, and he was crying and screaming, and my wife goes, Todd, he's screaming. And I'm like, well, honey, you just fed him. He's dry. He's not strangling himself in the sheets. He's fine. Go to bed. And I was out. You know, a few more minutes, she wakes me up again. Todd, he's still crying. I'm like, honey, that's fine. It's okay. We've checked it. He's fine. You know, and I tried to fall asleep. I couldn't because her skin was alive, you know. She was just like a banjo string. Bing, 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 you know, ready to pop. And a few more minutes later, she goes, Todd, he is still doing it. What are we going to do? And I can remember ripping back the sheets, jumping out of bed, and in the dark, rolling around and saying, you are so weak. And it was like God said, ding, 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 ding. And that's the way I made her, Todd. Your job is to live with her in an understanding way. You know, husbands, it's like coming into this dark room, or into this room and it's dark. And there's a chair sitting here, and I find my wife sitting in the chair, and I go, honey. And she's crying. I said, honey, why are you crying? She goes, because it's dark, and I'm afraid of the dark. And I'm like, well, why don't you turn on the lights? She goes, Todd, I just want you to understand. And I'm like, well, yeah, but if you turn on lights, I won't have to understand. We can get on to other things. She goes, I just want you to hold me. Well, I know, honey, but if you just turn on the light, you know. Sometimes, guys, your wife just wants you to understand. She didn't want you to, you know, when she says, oh, the kids are so terrible. She doesn't want you to go, oh, well, what you need is a chore chart. If you had a chore chart and you put up little stickers and they, she won't go, oh, thank you, honey, I really appreciate that. She just wants you to acknowledge that it's hard, you know. I can remember one time when my wife is pregnant, which she often is, and I was sitting at our kitchen table. I don't know what I was doing there, but I was just sitting there, and she came down and I could tell she was frustrated. She goes, oh, and it was in that last week or two before, you know, she has a baby, and she's like, Todd, all my clothes just feel so tight. I feel like I'm a whale. You know, my clothes are skin tight. I can barely breathe. I just feel huge. And, you know, being the sensitive husband I am, you know, I sighed and rolled my eyes like, is that all? And as I did, I turned and I saw a tear slide down her cheek. You know, My husband, I am just like messed up. It's because I started so early. You didn't ask that question, did you? It was a long drive. I did start out really early this morning, but my wife didn't want me to go, oh, honey, let's go out and buy all new clothes. She didn't want that, did she, ladies? Let's go buy a whole new wardrobe for you. Go get in the car. She didn't want that. She just wanted me to understand. Oh, honey, you know, I'd feel that way if I was as big as you too, you know, or something like that, you know. She just wants you to understand maybe why the house isn't as clean as it is, or why she's overwhelmed by the kids, or why she's not as romantic as you'd like her to be. I'm the romantic in my house. And so after an exhausting day of at our house, I'm like, I'm the kind of guy who lights the candles and puts in a Kenny G CD, you know. And my wife, she sees the candles, hears the music, and she goes, you've got to be kidding me, you know. And here's the deal about this. The Bible goes on to say about living with your wife in an understanding way, and it says, so that, or in order that, your prayers may not be hindered. You know, I cannot find another verse in the whole Bible said to hinder our prayers, except this one right here, specific sin. You know, so if, what's your name, sir? Al?
Yes.
Al, that's a good name, Al. You're not a meat packer, are you? You're not a meat packer. Okay, that'd be a good job and a good name. Al, you know, if Al says to me, hey, Todd, would you pray for me because, you know, whatever, we're struggling in our marriage. And I said, hey, I sure will, Al. Now, if I'm not living with my wife in an understanding way back in Indiana, somehow, and I don't know why, but the Bible says it, that prayer is hindered. And I'm letting down Al and his wife and his kids and his family just because I'm not living with my wife in an understanding way. I'll tell you, men, if we want to change the world, it won't be because you have a great worship program or because you have great outreach. It'll be because we men are living with our wives in an understanding way. Oh, man, there's more. But we're going to have to stop. I can't stop yet. We don't care. You guys don't need to get out. Ladies, at the same time, okay, your husband just wants to be number one in your life. He just wants to be number one. I'm not talking about your relationship with God. I'm talking about it in everything else. Sometimes we husbands feel so far down. You know, we feel far down on the list. We think that you like the kids better than us, the dog better than us, you know, everything better than us, your friends better than us. We just want to be number one. You know, we want you to show some of that same kind of love that you use on your children that you would on us. You know, for example, you know, we want you to believe in us. To believe in us, because we've got big ideas and we have these big things, you know. And you used to think all these great things about us. You used to think that we were smart and that we were brilliant and that we were, you know, our goals were noble and our character were sterling. And then we got married and you just kind of were disappointed because we let you down. You know, and sometimes it's like, you know, like your children. If you see one of your kids coloring on a piece of paper and later on this little kid comes up to you and he goes, hey, Mom, I've got something for you. What is it? And he pulls it out, and it's like Winnie the Pooh, all in black, everything. Pooh, Tigger, the clouds. You know what you never say? Oh, that looks terrible. Just go throw it away right now. You never say that. What do you say instead, moms? Oh, man, that looks wonderful. Let's go put it on the refrigerator so Dad can see it. Or let's send it to Grandma, you know. I know the secret now. But you know what? Sometimes your husband comes up to you with the same little twinkle in his eye. Honey, I've got a great idea. And you're like, what? You already know it's not a good idea. And he pulls it out and he shows it to you, his dream. And you go, you're kidding me, right? There's no way I'm going to do that. Like, we would do that right now. I mean, like, why would we do that? And you know what he thinks in his head? Yeah, you're right. But inside he does this. Just wants you to believe in him. You know, we could go on and on and on about these things because it's so important. But, you know, for each of us, there are certain things that we need to feel, especially husbands. I don't know why, you know, we're not much. Husbands are easy, actually, ladies. You are a lot more complicated than we are, you know. You want your husband on your side, all you'd have to do is hang on his arm and tell him how big his muscles are. That's it. You got him. You know, and again, that's in other things. I think you're smart. I think your character is good. You know, but normally what we hear is, why would you let the kids watch that movie? Why would you have let them ride their bikes with that, like that? Why would you have? I mean, look at the crown molding that you put up. It doesn't even join together, you know? And so we just pull out of your lives. So we just want to be, number one, we want to be believed in. In fact, my sister-in-law, she was in a church one time, and the church asked her, they were just talking, and they said, now, when you're on your way home today, ask your husband, and it was just the ladies, I guess, ask your husband what you could do to make him feel more loved. And my sister-in-law, Gail, thought, oh, I don't want to ask him because it's going to be hard, you know, but she did. And she asked my brother, Drew, she said, Drew, what could I do to make you feel more loved? And Drew said, don't make soup. Exactly. And she said, what? He said, I don't like soup. You make soup all the time. I don't want it. I don't like it. My family didn't grow up having soup. I just don't like soup. And she said, so in order to make you feel more loved, I just need to feed you solid foods. And my brother said, yes. Now, my sister-in-law is faced with a little fork in the road that you're all faced with. Now, once you know what your husband or your wife needs, you know, Gail could have said, well, that's stupid, Drew. I like soup. Soup is good food. You know, there's a whole industry that puts it in cans. You know, I'm going to keep serving soup. If she were to do that, I'd say to her, Gail, you're a fool. If that's all your husband needs from you, then don't make soup. Ladies, if all your husband needs from you is whatever, fill in the blank, then do whatever it takes to do that. Because that's the stem. And I'll have mom say to me, well, Todd, you know, we got a bunch of kids and I'm exhausted. And my husband, you know, he just wants that, the Kenny G and the candles thing. And I'm just like, well, do whatever it takes. She goes, I'm exhausted. And I'm like, well, take a nap. She's like, take a nap? Like, where would I find to take a nap? I said, well, I don't know, but you're wasting all your time on leaves. The neglect of the stem. You know, once we get this right, we have the power to change the world. It just happens to be the hardest thing. And you're not alone. You're not alone. Moms, can I encourage you to encourage each other? Wives, encourage wives to love their husbands. Older women, encourage the younger women to love their husbands. And as we talk this morning, and husbands encouraging each other, husbands to love their wives, as we talk this morning, it's bigger than just us. Because see these boys and these girls? They're watching you. They're watching you because they need to know how to love their future spouse. Because one day they're going to be married and it's going to be hard. I'm done. Okay. we could talk more. But can I give you a little commercial before you leave? We're in that back room back there. Whatever. Does it have a name? The round room? It's round. Good name. So once you leave this square room, the rectangle room, go to the round room. We have a table there with some books. We have books for fathers. We have books for moms. We homeschool our kids. We even have brought some books for homeschoolers, if you're into that. Just a few. Can I spotlight a few? We have some games, and I know this is Sunday, and sometimes I feel like we're money changers in the... I'm okay with it, though. I work through the guilt. We have some games back there for families. You're going to want to take one of these if you don't have one. We have some other books. We even have some really cool T-shirts for dads if you just want to be reminded how cool your job of being a dad is. Thanks for allowing me to be here. Do I need to give it back to you?
Yeah, I got one last thing.
Okay. Can I pray for him first and then pass it on?
Absolutely.
Would that be okay?
Sure.
Okay, and then I'll hand over the prayer. Can I pray for you right now? Father, I just pray for all the husbands and wives right here and all the future husbands and wives in this room. I pray that you would enable them to do what they need to do. I pray for the husbands that they would lead, they would listen, they would love unconditionally. I pray that they would live with their wives in an understanding way. And I pray for the wives here that you would help them to follow their husbands even when it's really, really scary, and help them to follow advice even when it's not very good. We don't do it because we're trying to manipulate situations or manipulate people. We do it because it is right, because you have set up these rules for our good. And may we do it not for ourselves, but the whole world can see how you interact with your bride. And we pray all this in your name, and all the husbands and wives said,
amen.
And now we'll turn it over to her.
Thank you, Lord, that we can have Todd Winston here talking to us today, and that we can learn about everything that you want us to, and that we can enjoy the rest of our days. In Jesus' name, amen.